Hello and welcome to the Central Fellowship Hour. The Central Fellowship Hour comes to you from the sanctuary of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. Stay with us on today's program for uplifting music and a message from the Word of God. In just a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Rodney Queen, Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship. Central Fellowship is a Bible-believing assembly committed to solid growth, celebrative worship, responsible stewardship, and effective prayer. To learn more about this exciting church, visit the website at centralfellowship.org. That's www.centralfellowship.org. And now, here's Senior Pastor of Central Fellowship, Dr. Rodney Queen.
Power of a changed life. God's Word gives us several examples, some are more drastic than others, of how big of a change takes place in individuals' lives. You think about this, there are two Marys that we see in the New Testament. One was a very clean living Mary. In fact, she was the mother of our Lord. She was a virgin. And when she became expecting with the Lord Jesus, she had never known a man. She lived a pure life. She was a clean living young woman. But the Bible also shows us another Mary who was a harlot. She was very dirty in her living and outlook of living. But God saved her. God changed her and made her a new person in Christ. In fact, do you know there's another Mary who was demon-possessed? And God changed her and people said, oh my, look at the change in that woman. Well, I want you this morning to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And I want you to notice with me a changed life. We don't know his name. We just know things about him. We know that this man whose life is changed, we know one thing. He was a crazy man. He was called a maniac. He was called a wild man. He was a man who didn't wear any clothes. He lived in the graveyard. He lived among the tombs. He didn't have a roof over his head. He was a man who had been bound by the authorities many times with chains, but he kept breaking the chains. Nobody could tame this man. I say nobody humanly could tame this man. But we do see here in Mark chapter 5, the testimony, the power of a changed life. Read with me now, starting in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. This same story is also found in the book of Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 8. Verse number 1 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship," that's when Jesus came out of the ship, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Verse 5. What was he doing all the time? "Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee," or "I beg thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Now stop right there just for a moment. This man, his vocal cords are vibrating and words are coming out of his mouth, but this man is not the one doing the speaking. The demonic spirit within him, the spirits within him, answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." A legion in Bible times was a group of 6,000 soldiers. Now, I don't know if this means that there's that many demonic entities associated with this man, but we do know the unclean spirit's name was Legion. And he says, "For we are many." Verse 10. "And he besought him much," or the demon is beseeching Jesus, begging Jesus much, "that he would not send them away out of the country." Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine or pigs feeding. And all the devils, notice that all the devils besought him or begged him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, the swine, that we may enter unto them." Verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave," or permission. "And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done." Verse 15, "And they come to Jesus, and they see him that was possessed," that's past tense, "they see him that had been possessed with the devil and had the legion." What's he doing? "Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him," or begged him, "that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not," or didn't give him permission, "but said unto him, Go home to thy friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him." And notice those last five words, "And all men did marvel." And all men, they marveled when they saw this man. They had prior knowledge of this man. They knew what he used to do. They knew what he was capable of. They knew his reputation. But now he's telling what Jesus has done for him. And everybody is just blown away. They're amazed at the power of a changed life. I'm imagining that in the crowd of people that heard this man give this testimony, there had been those that said, "I don't believe in God." There were those that said, "I don't believe in this Christianity stuff. Don't believe in this gospel stuff. Don't believe in this Bible stuff." But as they sat there and heard this man who they used to know, this man who had been changed drastically, they sat there and their mouths were shut, because they could not deny the power of a changed life. This man had a 100% track record of nobody able to handle him. Nobody able to tame him. Nobody able to reform him. Nobody able to make this man different from the way he was, except the right man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He can change the lowest. He can change the dirtiest. He can change the most defiled. He can change the most depraved. Jesus Christ can change anybody if only you give Him a chance. This man, I'm sure, used to have a family. I'm sure he had friends. I'm sure he had acquaintances that he no longer was able to be around. After I read what happened to this man, I think about this. He wasn't blank anymore. And there's a lot of things you can put in that blank. He wasn't blank anymore. As I thought about that and reading this story, I thought, first of all, he wasn't possessed anymore. I can't imagine the captivity and the bondage this man must have felt. I know what it's like to feel bondage of sin because I've been in it. I know what it's like to feel bound with things that I wanted to change but had no power to change in my life. But I don't know what it was to be bound like this man was bound. And I'm sure you probably don't know either. To the degree this man was in bondage, because it says that he was possessed, not by one, not by two, not by three, I don't know how many, but it says many devils. And it says that these many devils went into 2,000 swine or pigs and ran down into the water and drowned themselves. But one thing we do know, this man, the possession is in the past. The possession is what he used to be. Now he's no longer possessed. You know, as I read this story, just like as I look at every life and examine every life before us today, every one of you, you've got a past, you got a present, and you got a future. Every one of us, our past might still be binding us. Our past might still have us in bondage. We might still be in chains of the past. Meaning that the way you was born and the way you came up, there's never been a change in your life called the new birth or salvation. You've never been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. He's like a caterpillar that goes into a cocoon and after a period of time comes out a butterfly. There's a metamorphosis. There is a change in that person through Jesus Christ. New birth. That metamorphosis in my life took place August 11th, 1969. And every day when I open up my journal and I begin to go through my prayer requests and go through my praises, the first thing I write down in the praise column is my salvation, August 11, 1969. And every day I try to think of a different way to put it. My deliverance, August 11, 1969. My conversion, August 11, 1969. And every day I want to come face to face with reality and the remembrance of my conversion, my change, my BC to AD experience that happened. The destiny of my life changed on that Monday night, 1969. This man's destiny was changed that day that Jesus got off that boat and Jesus walked up to where he was and Jesus made a change in this man's life. If Jesus has made a change in your life and in your past so that you're not what you used to be, you ought to be telling people about it. You ought to be praising God for it. You ought to be rejoicing in that salvation. This man wasn't possessed anymore. I can think probably people said this about him. This man is not mean anymore. I think he was a mean guy. I think he had such meanness in him. even maybe not through him, but through the demonic entities that were coming out of him. The meanness of this man. People didn't want to be around him. Does that sound like your past? Has your past been such that you used to be a mean person? You used to have the devil in you, as some people call it? Not literally possessed, but just had a meanness about you. This man, not angry anymore. This man, not bitter anymore. This man, not running around naked anymore. This man, not living in the tombs anymore. This man, not crying day and night anymore. This man's not cutting himself with stones anymore. Have you seen these cutters? Have you seen these people that cut themselves? I've seen scars on people where they get gratification. Something within them makes them want to cut themselves and bleed and feel pain. I believe it's demonic related, if not demonic driven or possessed. But anytime you or I are driven to cut ourselves or hurt ourselves or do ourselves any harm, that's totally against the nature of the way God made us. And it is the devil's design and the devil's desire to steal, kill, and destroy all of us. But this man doesn't cut himself anymore. This man is not twitching. This man is not just so hyperactive anymore, running around, screaming, crying out. Now this man is sitting calm, quiet, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
You're listening to Dr. Rodney Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour. He'll be back with more in just a moment. Dr. Queen is senior pastor of Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia, conveniently located on Highway 247 between Macon and Warner Robins, just across from the airport. The number you can reach the church, 478-781-2981. And we'd love to hear from you, 478-781-2981. Now here again is Pastor Rodney Queen on the Central Fellowship Hour.
Do you know before you get saved, you're not in your right mind? Before you get saved, that doesn't mean that you have mental illness. But it means this, that you've not been born again, or you've not had the change from the old nature, the old mind. You have the mind of death. You have the mind of darkness. You have the mind of depravity. But when you get saved, God gives you the mind of Christ. A new mind. New eyes to see, new ears to hear, a new tongue to speak. He gives you a new song in your heart. Newness of life in Christ Jesus. That's what God gave this man. And this man is changed. Where'd you like to hang out before you got saved? Well, I know where I used to like to hang out. I know what I used to like to do. I know who I like to be around before I got saved. But you know, the night that I got saved, all of that changed. The places that I hung out, the people I hung around, and the things that I did. You say, must have been hard. It wasn't hard a bit, because I just didn't have the desire to do that anymore. God changed my wanter. You know, all of us inside have something. It's like a magnet. Before you get saved, that magnet inside of you is drawn to evil, and you've got no means or power to keep from that. But when you get saved, God changes your desires of the magnet. Now you're drawn to Him. You're drawn to the things of God. Doesn't mean that you still don't have those cravings and those old fleshly desires. It's going to be with you to the day you die, so God gives you a new body. But oh, this man, his past, how checkered it was. How depraved it was, but God changed all of that. We see His presence sitting at the feet of Jesus in the present tense. And then what does this man want to do for the rest of his life? He begs Jesus. He begs Jesus, "Let me go with you, Jesus. I want to go with you." And you know, some of us, after we get saved, that's the mentality we have too. I want to be around Christians all the time. I want to go to work somewhere where it's all Christians. And Jesus says, "No, you cannot come with me. Go home. Go to your family. Go to your friends. And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." Who can see the change the best in a changed life? People that know you. Your family and your friends. Who could tell the greatest change in my daddy, who was saved at 48 years of age, a year after I got saved? Who could tell the greatest change? Well, when he came down here and joined this church, he and my mom, you didn't know him before. You didn't see the great change. You heard us talk about it, but I saw it. I grew up in that home. I saw how he was all those years. And God changed him, made him a new person in Christ. And you know what every one of us need to do with our testimony? And your testimony might not be like the maniac. Not that dramatic. Not that cut. Not that clear and distinct. But every one of you got a testimony. Just like Mary, the virgin, the mother of Jesus, has a testimony. And Mary, the harlot, and the demon-possessed, had a testimony. And people need to see it. People need to hear it. And people need to be confronted by changed lives. Wayne, come on up here. Some of you last Sunday said, "I saw that man come and sit down beside Brother Rodney. Didn't know who he was." And folks, I didn't know who he was either when he came down and sat beside me there. But just a minute or two passed by and he tapped me and said, "Do you know this name right here?" And he had the Wayne Roden, and he said, "That's me." And we'd corresponded, I guess, since 2003 when you first just wrote me. But tell everybody what the Lord's done for you once.
I may get a little emotional here, if y'all just bear with me. As you know, my name is Wayne Roden. I'd like to share a scripture with you. It's Romans 7:24. It says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I wrote a testimony here. I'm just going to read it as I wrote it. My name is Wayne Roden. You know, God, He allows us children to get ourselves in some unhappy situations sometimes. But He can use these situations to a positive way. In 1988, I went to work for Robins Air Force Base as F-15 mechanic, making decent money. All I really cared about was money. Living a worldly life, drinking, doing drugs at that time. I had a so-called friend in 1991 that came up to me wanting to know if I could get him some pot. I told him yes. I seen a way to make money. So I met him and got him the marijuana. I was later arrested by United States Marshals in a sting operation. In 1992, I was sentenced to 66 months in federal prison. Never being arrested before, I was scared and afraid. I'd always believed in a higher power, God, but I didn't know who Jesus Christ was and didn't really want to know. In 1994, while in prison, I started to attend church, prison fellowship, and was beginning to learn about the Bible and who Jesus Christ really was. I never accepted Christ because I wanted to do it my way and really didn't want to dedicate my life to Him. Then in 1995, I was sent to a prison camp in Montgomery, Alabama, on a military base. There was no fence, drugs, alcohol everywhere. I got back into worldly things. Then in 1997, 2 months before getting out, I started to attend church again because I thought that was the right thing to do. God was calling me. He kept pulling at me, but I didn't want to listen. You see, I never accepted Christ as my Savior. I was only playing with God. That we cannot do. Then I prayed, "Lord, if you are real, I want you to do some things in my life. I prayed for a good wife, a good job, and to start a family. God answered that prayer with that woman over there and that little boy. I met her, and we have him. I was blessed. I was blessed with another chance to work in aviation after I got out of prison in 97. I had an aviation company, started me out at the bottom. They said, Wayne, we'll give you a chance. I worked my way all the way to a supervisor. I was a supervisor over here at Timco for an aircraft company called Performance that we did subcontract work. Then on 12/3/2002, that all ended one night while I was out drinking and acting a fool. I shot a deer and someone called 911 hearing gunshots. A deputy responded to that call. I was stopped coming off a field from a dirt road for suspicion. Then the nightmare began. The deputy and I got in a fight, and I was in a world of trouble. I was shot in my right finger by the officer's gun when I got in a fight. It's just a blessing that I didn't get killed, or the officer get killed, or my son get killed that was there with us. You know, God, I see now that He was in the presence of that. He allowed me to get myself in this situation. And He kept pulling at my coattail, but I wouldn't listen. But I'm here to say now that I'm not going to be perfect, but I know where the blessings come from. As I was sent to jail, I had time to think, why me, Lord? Why me? I really wanted to die because, you know, I was successful back in life, had a family, take care of them, and then it all just went away that quick. My lawyer told me, said, Wayne, you're facing up to 40 years for the fight. He said, the federal authorities want you for having the guns by a convicted felon. I didn't know what to do. At that time, I was thinking, well, I'm worth more dead than I am alive. At least my son, he can get my Social Security, and my wife at that time, I had life insurance. I cried out to God, why me? Help me, Lord. As weeks rolled by while I was in jail, I attended services in jail several nights a week. I had no one else to turn to. I finally accepted Christ with an open heart. I just said, God, here I am. I'm yours. I just give up. I can't handle it on my own. It was there and then that I couldn't get enough of the word. Then I got a radio, and I heard Pastor Queen's ministry over the radio, Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, and I was just on fire. I couldn't get enough. God was really dealing with me. I'd done Bible studies. I was praying, crying out to Christ. All seemed well. Then it was time for the feds to come get me and go to another jail. As you all, if a lot of you, you know, may experience jail, it's no place to be. I was on my knees crying out to God to help my family because I'd left them with nothing. It took our money to hire a lawyer to help me get out of this situation. And I was wanting them to have the best, but I'd taken it all away by being a fool. I was in my cell one night praying alone, and I fell asleep on my knees praying. And it's as someone had come up to me and put their hand on my back, and the three words, well, it will be okay. I looked around and my cell door was still locked. I realize now that it was the Spirit of God dealing with me, letting me know that I was going to be okay because my heart was right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it was Jesus Christ. He was with me. I was moved to Gray, Georgia there, to Jones County Jail, to face the federal charges. As I got there, I was in a 48-man cell. My cellmate that was there was an older man, and I was on the top bunk. He was lying there crying. I leaned over and looked down at him and asked him, I said, sir, are you okay? He says, no. And I asked him if I could pray with him. We shared some scriptures, prayed, then I asked him if he was saved. He says, no. So I told him about Christ and the way I felt and what he was doing for me already. So he accepted Jesus Christ. I had planted a seed. God had used me just in that, in the jail. And you know, and I was thinking of me of all people to plant a seed. I was there for 5 months, then I left and went back to Peach County Jail where I was held to get sentenced for state charges. And I was reading in the paper that the man that I had told about Jesus had died of cancer. He had gotten out and died. And it was just a feeling to know that I'd planted a seed in him and he had accepted Christ. Okay, there I was sent to Jackson State Prison. I continued to study the Word, attend church, and do Bible studies. I also kept in touch with Pastor Queen through letters I would write to him. The Holy Spirit was really working within me. Then it was time to get sent off to the real prisons. I was sent to Calhoun State Prison below Albany, Georgia. That prison is a level 5 close security camp with 1,500 inmates. It's a disciplinary camp for mental health. Rapes, dope, stabbings, cuttings, fights every day. I kid you not, blood every day. And I was scared. I attended church. I'd go out on the yard. I'd watch young guys, 17 years old in there, starting with 30 or 40 year sentence. They'd go to commissary, get them a pair of shoes, clothes. They'd go to yard. Guys jump on them, take them. I was blessed. You know, I didn't run with people or in gangs. I went out on that, I call it a battlefield, but God protected me. You know, I run a lot, try to stay in shape for my health. God was with me. When my wife came to see me several times, I'd tell her about the violence there, what happened. And, you know, when I asked her to continue to pray for me, because every day that I was there is a chance that I may not see the next day. It was that bad. Then I was blessed to get into the faith-based and character dorm that the Georgia prison started. There I went on to complete and graduate a Dorchester Bible College ministry program out of South Carolina. I don't claim to be a pastor. It's just something that I did to set a goal and to learn more about the Word. I asked God to lead me through this, and if it be His will, to use me, and He has. I continue to do Bible studies through the mail and continue to go to church at the prisons. Once I got to federal prison in South Carolina, I continued to do Bible studies, have prayer groups at night. And it was there that I had wrote the federal judge back in Macon and asked him, because we had talked about running concurrent sentences, and I wrote him back and I prayed and asked God. I said, God, if it's thy will and if I'm ready to get out, dear Lord, let it be. And I was really scheduled to get out in September 2009 on my original date with the feds. But you know, the Lord worked in this federal judge's heart, and He gave me credit for the time I did in state prison. So I'm standing here today, or I would have 3 more years. God protected me and blessed me through all this. You see, God is a spirit. You know, we talk about Jesus and we see pictures of Him. When Jesus Christ died, He left His spirit. And that's what He is, His spirit. We can't see Him, and we have problems. You know, not problems, but we just don't understand. How can we worship something that we can't see? But believe me, He's there. And all these younger teenagers and elementary kids, I'm here to tell you that drugs, violence, running with the wrong crowds, it's not the thing to do. I'm not proud of my past, but I'm not ashamed of it either. You know, I if I can help somebody or be a witness to somebody, I would do it. And you know, Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sow, that he will reap." And that is so true, because you know, I was sowing bad seeds and I reaped them. You know, and I just been out of prison now for 12 days, and I see already I miss the fellowship and the connection I had with the people in prison, because we did it so often. That's all we had to do. And now, you know, a lot of us, we pick up our Bibles only on Sunday to come to church. And I found people that you got to do this daily. This is our guide to life. And I would like to ask y'all to continue to pray for me and my family, and just keep us in prayer, that God will continue to use me and keep me on that straight path. And I thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
You've been listening to the Central Fellowship Hour, coming to you from Central Fellowship Baptist Church in Macon, in the heart of Georgia. Central Fellowship is on Highway 247 between Macon and Warner Robins. Dr. Rodney Queen is the senior pastor and sincerely appreciates your response. Address your letter to Central Fellowship, 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, Georgia, 31206. That's 8460 Hawkinsville Road, Macon, 31206. If you'd like to call, it's 478-781-2981. That's 478-781-2981. Or visit them online at centralfellowship.org. Join Pastor Queen and the assembly at Central Fellowship Baptist Church this same time next week, right here on the Central Fellowship Hour.